Hello and welcome to the Expert HR Podcast with me, Jo Thirichelvam. The government has put a lot of emphasis on apprenticeships in the past few years, trying to encourage employers to take them on to address skill shortages and to improve opportunities for young people. Senior Employment Law Editor Susie Munro is here to tell us what employees need to know about apprenticeships. The government has made a real commitment to apprenticeships, hasn't it?
Yes, so the government has made an actual commitment for there to be 3 million new apprenticeships by 2020. In the past few years, we've seen the introduction of employer-led apprenticeship standards under the Trailblazers scheme, which we'll come on to in a bit. And then on the 6th of April, the apprenticeship levy came into force. So levy-paying employers now have more of an incentive to explore the use of apprenticeships to get some return on their levy payments. And we've also recently had the introduction of apprenticeship targets in the public sector, under which public sector bodies are expected to have apprenticeship starts making up a minimum of 2.3% of their total workforce on average over the next 4 years.
For those employers that haven't used apprenticeships before, can you give us an overview of how they actually work?
Yes, so an apprenticeship is a mixture of on and off the job training, with the apprentice working towards a vocational qualification while earning a wage. The employer will be responsible for providing the on the job training and will usually select a training provider to provide the off the job training and learning. And apprentices have to spend at least 20% of their time on off-the-job training.
And does that off-the-job training and learning take place in a classroom?
It could be in a classroom, or some of it could be remote learning, or it could be training that's provided by the training provider on the employer's premises. Basically, it's learning that's delivered outside of the apprentice's usual work duties. So the employer has to select a suitable training provider to work with, and that has to be a provider that's on the register of training providers. Employers can apply to become employer providers and provide all the training themselves, and this might be something that a larger employer, someone that employs a large number of apprentices, might do, but it will be much more usual for the employer to enter an agreement with a provider.
And an apprentice is working towards a qualification in a particular occupation, aren't they?
Yes, the apprenticeship has to be undertaken either under an apprenticeship framework or an apprenticeship standard, and these set out the requirements for completing an apprenticeship programme in a particular occupation or industry. So, for example, there's an apprenticeship standard for rail engineering technicians, one for healthcare support workers, and one for retail team leaders. I should say that this is the case in England. Apprenticeship training is a devolved matter, so Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland don't operate the same system.
Looking at the English system then, can you explain the difference between frameworks and standards?
Well, frameworks are being replaced by standards, the main difference being that standards are designed by employers for particular occupations. Under the government's Trailblazers initiative, groups of employers in a sector get together and design the standards, setting out the knowledge, skills and behaviour required to carry out a particular occupation well. And at the end of an apprenticeship under a standard, the apprentice is assessed by an independent assessor to make sure that they've reached the required standard.
You said that frameworks are being replaced by standards, so can an apprenticeship still be undertaken under frameworks?
Yes, if there's no standard in place yet for the particular role, but it's expected that frameworks will be phased out and replaced by standards by 2020.
Moving on then to funding, can you tell us about the apprenticeship levy?
The apprenticeship levy applies across the UK, so all qualifying employers have to pay it. But the system for apprenticeships themselves and for how the funding is distributed are different in Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland to England.
So you said all qualifying employers have to pay it. So which employers have to pay it?
That's employers with a pay bill of more than £3 million have to pay the levy. The levy is set at 0.5% of the pay bill, and there's an annual allowance of £15,000 for each employer, although that's shared between connected companies if they're in a group structure. So, for example, an employer with a pay bill of £10 million will be liable to pay £35,000 under the levy. That's 0.5% of £10 million minus the £15,000 allowance.
So that's going to represent a significant cost for some employers. How will that be paid?
It's paid through the employer's PAYE system on a monthly basis.
And how can employers in England access that funding?
So the money raised by the apprenticeship levy is for employers to spend on apprenticeship training and assessment. Levy-paying employers can set up an online apprenticeship service account, and the amount that they've paid towards the levy will be paid into the account along with a 10% top-up from the government, and they can use the money in their account to pay training providers and assessors. But if the funds haven't been spent within 24 months, they will expire. So if an employer is paying the levy, it does need to start thinking about its options for making use of the money in its account and should do that sooner rather than later.
Tell us a bit more about what employers can use that funding on.
It's only on training and assessment by registered providers and assessors that takes place under an approved framework or standard, and that's only up to the maximum for the funding band for that apprenticeship. So you can't spend it on wages, management costs, or recruitment costs associated with an apprenticeship, for example. And you can't use it for other workplace training that doesn't take place under an apprenticeship.
What if an employee doesn't pay the levy? Can it still get help with funding?
Yes, employers that don't have a large enough pay bill to be liable to pay the levy can get access to government funding through what's called co-investment. And this means the employer pays 10% of the cost of the apprenticeship training and assessment, and the government pays 90% up to the maximum funding band set for that particular apprenticeship. Employers that don't pay the levy can't currently open an online apprenticeship account. At the moment, those are only available for levy-paying employers, but the government has said that those accounts will be available for all employers in the future. And there are other online tools provided by the National Apprenticeship Service that are available to all employers, such as tools for finding an apprenticeship standard, finding a training provider, and advertising apprenticeship vacancies.
So if an employer is thinking of taking on an apprentice, what does it need to consider?
Employers need to make sure that they will have enough experienced staff available with time to supervise the apprentice over the duration of the apprenticeship, and that there's a genuine job role available for the apprentice that will allow them to gain the skills and experience necessary for the framework or standard. And they need to choose the right type of apprenticeship and make sure that it's at the right level for the job the apprentice will be doing.
What does that actually mean? What different levels are there?
So there are four levels of apprenticeship, ranging from the equivalent of 5 GCSE passes up to the level of a master's degree.
So lots of people will be surprised that apprenticeships go up to that level.
Yes, higher and degree level apprenticeships were introduced with apprenticeship standards. A degree apprenticeship is usually undertaken in partnership with a university, and the apprentice will come away with a degree on completion of the programme.
And presumably apprenticeships vary in length as well.
Yes, they have to be at least 1 year in duration, and they're usually between 1 and 4 years. So with a longer apprenticeship, the employer needs to plan ahead to ensure that it has the resources to support the apprentice throughout the programme.
So moving on to the legal technicalities, does an apprentice have normal employment status and the associated statutory rights?
Well, the employer needs to ensure that it has an apprenticeship agreement with the apprentice and that that agreement complies with the requirements under the Apprenticeship Skills, Children and Learning Act 2009. These requirements differ depending on whether the apprenticeship is under a framework or a standard, but the Act sets out certain information that must be included in the agreement. And if there is an apprenticeship agreement that complies with the Act, the apprentice will have broadly the same employment rights as other employees.
So that sounds pretty important to get right. What would be the position if there was no valid apprenticeship agreement?
Well, firstly, the employer wouldn't be eligible for government funding for the apprenticeship. But also, if you don't meet the requirements of the Act, the apprenticeship could be under a traditional contract of apprenticeship. And this would mean that the apprentice would not be a normal employee, and in particular, they'd have different rights in relation to dismissal. It would be more difficult to dismiss them for conduct issues or to make them redundant, for example.
So if an apprentice is employed under an apprenticeship agreement in line with the Act, they are treated like normal employees in terms of statutory rights. Is that right?
Yes, they have the same rights to annual leave, working time, protection from discrimination and so on as other employees, and they have the same right to claim unfair dismissal. One difference is that they don't have the same protection from less favourable treatment on the basis of being fixed-term workers. Also, there's a special apprenticeship rate of the national minimum wage, and that's currently at £3.50 per hour, which is significantly lower even than the rate for 19 and 20-year-olds, which is £5.60 per hour. But it's important to recognise that the apprenticeship rate applies only in the first year of the apprenticeship or if the apprentice is aged under 19.
So can you give us an example of how that works?
So if you've got an apprentice aged over 25, which is perfectly possible as apprenticeships are no longer seen as just something for school leavers, you could pay them £3.50 per hour in the first year of their apprenticeship. But from the second year, their wage would rise to at least £7.50 per hour, which is the top rate of the national minimum wage for people aged 25 and over.
But of course, employers are free to decide to pay more than the minimum to apprentices in their first year or otherwise.
Yes, if you're only paying the minimum of £3.50 an hour, it may be difficult to recruit the best candidates and it may cause engagement issues if the apprentice is doing the same job as colleagues who are paid significantly more.
You mentioned that apprenticeships are no longer seen as being only for school leavers. Can existing employees switch to undertake an apprenticeship, say if they want to reskill?
Yes, it's important to stress that, particularly with the apprenticeship levy, when levy-paying employers will be keen to make the most of apprenticeship funding. Existing staff can undertake apprenticeships as a way of developing new skills, so employers can explore whether apprenticeships might be suitable for employees as part of their ongoing training and development. Even if an employee already has a degree, for example, they would be eligible to undertake an apprenticeship at any level as long as the content of the training is different from any qualification they already have and would allow them to develop new skills.
And there are no age limits for apprenticeships, are there?
No, apprenticeships definitely aren't just for young people starting out in their first job. And employers should be mindful of age discrimination when they're recruiting apprentices to be sure that they're open to people of all ages or that if they are targeted at younger people, the employer can justify this.
For further guidance on apprenticeships, you can consult the expert HR how-to guide on how to employ an apprentice or our model apprenticeship agreement. We also have a webinar on apprenticeships coming up on the 21st of June, so look out for that. You'll be able to submit your questions to be answered by our experts. Now that brings us to the end of this week's Expert HR podcast, which you've been listening to with me, Jo Thirichelvam. We're back next Friday, but until then, it's goodbye from us.